I'll tell you what I find really annoying about Christmas here. It's just all these Christmas specials, right? Mm. Everything, you know, is a Christmas special. I'm so pleased we haven't fallen into that trap, you know, just doing everything with a bit of a festive angle.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk.
Christmas with the Christmas Now Show!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. And welcome to the Christmas Now Show.
Well, it's Boxing Day. Well, it isn't Boxing Day, actually, but we're pretending it is. In fact, we're all far away from here doing exactly what you're doing. Well, not exactly what you're doing, because you're listening to this, whereas we know what's in it and we've decided not to bother.
Yes, all right, then, this is a Christmas special. Although, in fact, it's extra special, because this is the only BBC Christmas special not to include a spoof of Titanic, largely because we've already done two during the series. And like we said, there's too many Christmas specials anyway. Auntie's spanking new Christmas bloomers. How new can people forgetting their words be? Although apparently there is one good one this year, where a Blue Peter presenter fluffs his line. But I ask you, like, changing rooms at Christmas, what is that? And how can you change a room at Christmas?
Well, what I'm thinking of in here is pushing the old pile of old wrapping paper over to the other side of the carpet, trailing the handsets for the PlayStation in a slightly different direction, throwing the pine needles in a sort of Scandinavian pattern, and scattering the armchairs with a selection of snoozing uncles, all the while with the kids shouting, "Get out of the bloody way, we can't see the film!" And beyond that, there's not much I can do until next week.
Thank God for that, you big ponce!
Boxing Day, in any case, is an appalling time to try and string together any kind of coherent review of the year. It's hard enough trying to string together a coherent view of the day before. That's why, of course, all Christmas radio and TV specials are recorded in advance. The producers know the problems of trying to make a programme over the Christmas period.
Hello, welcome to Watchdog Christmas Special. I'm Alice Beer.
Well, if you're having one, I'll have one too. Good evening and welcome to Watchdog Top. Anne Robinson has gone to buy some aspirins, anyway. As you sit contemplating the remains of the turkey, could I have the auto cue a bit bigger?
If not TV and radio, well, obviously a bit of radio is fine. If not that, then what else? Well, there's board games, so-called, because after 10 minutes of playing one, that's what you are. And then there's computer games, and these cause arguments because you play them on the telly. And you can't do both. The only solution would be to combine the games and the Christmas TV, an exciting shoot-em-up game based on the sound of music. You are Julie Andrews escaping from the dark forces of Nazism. Either that or Lara Croft ventures down and stuffs your turkey from the inside. But best of all, of course, there's the hours of endless fun to be had from reading the jokes that come in your Christmas crackers. Obviously, many of you yesterday will have been pulling Christmas crackers and probably been, frankly, disappointed with the jokes contained within them. They're generally felt to be kind of old and predictable, but are they? We've decided to test this theory. We have bought two boxes of Christmas crackers.
Well, actually, you've bought two boxes of Christmas crackers, you being the licence payer, which gives you some idea of our status at the BBC. We get bought Christmas crackers, John Burt gets a Range Rover.
And we went out, we bought two boxes of crackers. One was from W.H. Smith, £5 for eight. And the other one was from Selfridges, £15 for six. But you do get two jokes per cracker. And what we've decided to do is we're going to put jokes from each cracker, firstly to Dan and Nick, and then to Busman and Quantic, and see if they can beat the punchline. Right. Right, Dan and Nick are first up. Dan and Nick, do you want Smiths or Selfridges?
Selfridges.
Right, the okay, real jokes mate. From the Selfridges crackers. See if you can predict the punchline.
How do jellies start their races?
Ice cream.
You're on something, aren't you?
That's more sophisticated.
Yeah, which is get set.
This is a good one. You like this one, right?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I think you ought to get this one. Where do Londoners with pimples live?
Pizza Land.
Hackney from the audience. Audience one, professional comedians nil. Right, yeah. Next one. Which bear is white and smells of peppermint?
Toothpaste bear.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Call that one.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a polo bear.
Yeah, obviously. That was their answer. Waiter, waiter, this soup tastes funny.
You're licking the wrong end.
Yes! Right. Well, at the end of that first round, Dan and Nick have scored a miserable one. Now, Quantic and Busman, step to the microphone to see if they can beat them.
Well, I can do this one of these a bit quicker.
W.H. Smith's cracker jokes.
Yeah. What's one thing you can both eat and drink?
Princess Margaret's dinner.
Yeah. Well, that's W.H. Smith's stuff, isn't it?
The answer, of course, is toast. Which I'm disputing, because I think you can drink...
You can't drink toast.
No, exactly, that's what I think. You can drink a toast.
Yeah, exactly. Right, this is the next one. This is a rather bizarre setup. It's raining cats and dogs outside.
Because Rolf Harris has detonated the animal hospital.
What's wrong with this little fella?
That's very good.
I'll blow his ass off.
Their answer was, I know I just stepped in a poodle.
I would say myself, not much point in detonating Animal Hospital unless Rolf Harris was inside myself. What do telephones do on January the 1st?
They change to a really easy-to-remember number, like 01247899. I don't know. Ring in the new year.
Yeah, ring in the new year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, except in Millennium, when they're not going to do anything.
Finally, what does Santa Claus say in the garden?
I'm terribly sorry, I'll clean it up.
Right.
So they have.
Dan and Nick only have one, Dan and Jane have two, which means the Quantic and Busman are the winners. Hey!
The Now Show.
And now Dan and Nick present a little song entitled The Comeback Kid.
Well, I am the President of the United States. Nothing can depress my popularity rates.
Excuse me, sir. Oh, my God, is that girl sucking your...
Look over there, everyone. It's a war.
The kid came back the very next day. Even Monica couldn't blow him away.
Sir, the evidence is mounting that you might be just a cad. Why don't you apologize and admit that you were bad?
Why can't we just keep bombing?
Because the targeting's a mess.
What's wrong with it?
Well, Mr. President, you seem to have hit her dress.
The kid came back. He knew he couldn't fail. The only person in history who didn't inhale. The kid came back. He couldn't believe his luck. I can't believe that people believe that he didn't know how to suck.
I don't fear the final judgment before the big investigator. I can't wait to get into the holy elevator. If God says,
you're going to heaven,
I'll shout out, what?
Yahoo!
And if he says,
going down,
I'll shout out, what? You too!
Sir, we gotta do something before Congress impeaches.
Congress? Peaches? Sounds good to me!
Busman and Quantic.
In a year where excess heterosexual activity proved the undoing of Bill Clinton, not to mention his flies, British politics avoided straight sex scandals with what appeared to be the first ever all-gay government. Now, we're not going to stand here and make jokes about the House of Clapham Commons.
Well, the real reason everyone stood up when they said, and now the Queen's speech.
Or plans to rename Westminster the Cottages of Parliament. We're not even asking you to think of one unhappy Welsh member.
And its owner, Ron Davis.
We do, however, wish to draw your attention to one annoying fact. This year, the lowering of the homosexual age of consent from 18 to 16 was thwarted by the House of Lords.
This was a stupid move. Surely someone could have done a deal.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Lord Kenneth Horne.
Oh, hello. My name's Julian. This is my friend Sandy.
Bone it a bard, you dolly old eat.
Yes, well, that's enough of that. Now, we want to do a deal with you homosexualists.
Oh, isn't it thrilling? Peers and queers.
Queers.
If you support the non-abolition of voting rights for peers, we will move for the lowering of the age of consent for gay men.
Oh, I don't know.
He hasn't been under a peer since Blackpool 1952.
No, that's right. I got sand in my winkle.
We can't help you anyway.
Well, why the devil not?
We're cabinet ministers. Ta-ta!
Ta-ta! In the real world of gay activism, Peter Tatchell, who now seems to have changed his name by deed poll to Peter... Look at me! No, look, you're not looking at me! Look! Tatchell... barged into a service at Canterbury Cathedral and demanded that Archbishop Carey go to a gay disco with him or something. Tatchell, whose path in life seems to have been influenced by his alarming, boggle-eyed resemblance to Robert Powell in Jesus of Nazareth, was found guilty. As a result, his nadgers were crushed in a vice and he was hanged by the ego until dead.
Well, actually, he was fined 18 quid, which, by a bizarre and unrelated coincidence, is roughly the price of George Michael's new album.
George has become a bit obsessed with lavatories. It's already been noted that George Michael's album, Ladies and Gentlemen, was named after two kinds of toilet. But there was also his single, Outside. Look forward to George's new record, Chemical, with its hit single, Horrible French-Style Hole in the Floor.
And finally, back to poor old Ron Davies. Where is he now?
Well, rumour has it he's carved out an alternative career in panto.
Well, here we are at Clapham Common, puss. 5 miles south of London and still no sign of Dick. I'm not interested in you, pussy.
And now, telling it like it is, Alan Parker, Urban Warrior.
Kicking it down, fives, no damage on your side. Hello, basically, etc. Now, New Year's resolutions time approaches again. And, well, last year my New Year's resolution was revolution. Same as the year before. And the year before that, in fact, as well. Although, but for the 5 years before that, it was revolution right now. But since then, I've learnt a bit of patience. But this year, I'm going to have a different New Year's resolution. It's very simple. Bring down Blair. Just as Ben Elton brought down Thatcher and Izzard brought down Major, so I shall bring down Blair. The question is how? Well, Ben Elton's basic approach was to take the word Thatcher and shorten it to Thatch. Well, if you try that with Blair, you end up with Blur. It's not going to achieve anything. Eddie Izzard brought down John Major by wearing a dress. I don't know how it works, but good luck to him, he's a brave man. So I've been thinking about how to do it, how to bring down Blair. I feel a lot of anger towards him after the Iraq thing and killing people and that. So how to do it? And, well, I was looking at the advertising world. Yeah, now they've got the new advertising, like micro-advertising, you might notice it, just like insinuating words into things like have a Sainsbury's Christmas, like trying to associate the word Sainsbury's with Christmas. That is the technique I'll use to get Blair. That doesn't annoy me particularly, to have a Sainsbury's Christmas. The worst one is Boots is Love. You seen that? Boots is a chemist shop. Boots, can you hear me? You sell aspirin. You know, just make any... You can't fall in Boots, can you? Well, you can, and I have. But they kick you out. They don't want people lying on the floor looking unhealthy. Yeah. What I like to do is associate the word Blair with another word. And the word I have chosen is arse. So, here's a song.
Tony Blair, arse, arse, arse. Arse, Blair, arse, Blair, arse, blast, arse, Blair, arse, Blair, blast, arse. Tony Blair. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Arse, arse, arse.
Blair, Blair, Blair.
Arse, arse, arse.
Arse, arse, arse.
Blair, Blair, Blair.
You're catching on.
It's very therapeutic as well. I've been saying it to myself all day, you just feel better.
Blair, arse! Arse, Blair!
I'm not getting against Lionel Blair here. It's specifically Tony. And notice I'm not saying Tony Blair is an arse. I'm just putting the words together and associating them. It's a clever trick, you know. He's not an arse. He's more than that. He does hand movements. And I said satire was dead. Cheers.
One of the many statistics which we learnt from the papers this year was that apparently as many people now believe in aliens as believe in Jesus. Now, whether or not this is true, I have no idea. But there was a ring at the doorbell the other day and I met my first group of New Age carol singers.
It came upon a midnight clear, a great big UFO, with flashing lights all weird and stuff, my mind did really blow. Land on the earth, I said to them, tell us we're not alone. Turned out to be a police car, you've had quite enough, go home.
And now, what would Christmas be without pantomime? Apart from better. The Now Show presents the story of Dick Whittington and his cat. Dick, of course, was a poor country boy who one day set out to make his fortune. His first step was to make his way to London town.
Virgin Rail announced a delay to your service to London Euston. This is due to spending all our money buying up old British Rail trains and painting them red to disguise our total lack of experience at running a train service. Passengers requiring teas, coffees, other beverages and snacks will be disappointed, as the buffet opened for 3 minutes at Stockport and is now shut for no apparent reason. I thank you.
Oh, boys and girls, however will I get to London town? I shall have to hitch. Hurrah, someone's stopping. Hello, can you give me a lift to London?
Hop in. Because if you're the sort of person who wants to get to London, this four-wheeled bullet of a totty trap will do the job.
Yes, actually, maybe I'd rather take the coach.
The coach is the namby-pamby poor person's substitute for a real man's mode of transport. A car. A rip-snorting, skirt-attracting set of gonads on wheels that'll leave National Express standing. Coaches are for students, old people, and strange dribbling people who fall asleep on your shoulder.
Yes, thank you. I think this is where I'd like to get out.
So finally, Dick arrives in London, where he wanders the streets penniless and feels at home almost immediately. But lacking a real friend, Dick one day rescues a cat from a fate worse than death.
Oh, hello there. Let's have a look at this little fella. He looks sick.
Can I buy him, kind sir?
He's not for sale. He's not very well. He's very frightened and shy. Vets recommend music to calm and soothe his nerves. Here goes. Come down from that tree!
Dick takes the cat, and proceeding through London, he sees posters advertising for a new mayor. Suddenly...
Hello, I'm Geoffrey the Archer, famous scribe. You may have read my Canterbury Tales.
Wasn't that Geoffrey Chaucer?
No, Geoffrey Archer's the name. You've probably read some of my works. Not a Groat More, Not a Groat Less, First Among Peasants, Dante's Inferno.
Isn't that by Dante?
No, Archer's the name, anyway. I trust I can rely on your vote. I'm running for mayor.
What are your policies?
Well, cheaper travel on the underground, cheaper rents, free concerts with Billy Bragg.
Aren't those Ken Livingstone's policies?
Archer's the name, vote for me.
I'd like to be Lord Mayor of London, but alas, I'm but a poor country boy and do not stand a chance.
Never fear, young Dick. This does not matter.
Who are you?
We are the spin physicians.
That's right. We can physic thy campaign.
The trick is to turn all thy negatives into positives.
I'm poor.
Rags to riches, humble beginnings, local boy makes good.
We can run with that. What else?
I have no political experience whatsoever.
Public distrust politicians.
In touch with the man on the street.
I live in a doorway.
You are the man on the street.
I have four illegitimate children, enjoy dressing up in women's clothes and being spanked by a woman dressed as a beef eater.
Ah.
No, just testing.
Damn.
That would have been perfect.
All goes well right up until polling night.
Here are the results of the election for Mayor of London. Geoffrey Oxford, world record sprinter archer, 425 votes. Glenda Hampstead Jackson, 578 votes. Grant off EastEnders, 2,356 votes. Richard Wilbert Nigel, actually I'm a girl, but it's traditional Whittington, 28,347. I hereby declare that Dick Whittington is duly elected.
Hoorah! Let's all sing!
But fortunately, at that point, the curtain fell on the tale of Dick Whittington. I thank you all! At Yuletide, we all turn into a nation of nut lovers. And yet no one has produced a definitive guide to the Christmas nut. Hugh will now attempt to redress that balance.
Yes, thank you. Nuts come in many shapes and sizes, and the choice may seem rather confusing to the uninitiated. But fortunately, the British nut bowl contains only five main types. Brazil nuts, walnuts, hazelnuts, almonds and chestnuts. Each distinctive in their own way, each inspiring a different reaction in the consumer. For example, I can't stand Brazil nuts. Well, actually, I don't know whether I can stand them or not, because I've never actually managed to open one. God knows how they self-propagate, because I replaced the head of my hammer with a Brazil nut, and it seemed to make no difference at all, except to the wall I was hitting. Now, call me old-fashioned, but there seems to be very little point in giving house room to a nut that's only crackable with the aid of a car crusher. Now, without doubt, the most miserable inhabitant of the nut bowl is the hazelnut, which will lurk about uneaten until they're finally thrown away several months after Christmas. There are many theories for this failure. Is it their size? Is it their dull brown husk? No, it's down to taste. For unless in peak condition, eating a hazelnut is less pleasurable than having a mouthful of chipboard. In short, they're small, round and boring, the nut equivalent of Phil Collins. By contrast, the walnut is the prince of nuts. The walnut, of course, along with the pecan, bears many of the same visual characteristics as the human brain, thereby adding an extra frisson to its consumption. Close your eyes, and you can pretend you're undertaking a cannibalistic dental lobotomy of a tiny person. Made of nut. The almond is a different proposition altogether. It's the last word in nut refinement, like the walnut, a true aristocrat of the nut world. Indeed, so refined is it that the tawdry description nut does not intrude upon its name. Not so the chestnut, which through the adoption of that three-lettered moniker may well have blagged its entrance to a party at which it should not be present. The chestnut is the pauper of the nut world, an underclass who, if they had brains, would surely be plotting to overthrow the walnuts and almonds who enjoy all the privileges, while they are consigned to a life of roasting at the hands of a chirpy cockney who can't even be bothered with them for 9 months of the year, preferring instead the opportunities for profit provided by hamburgers made from the flesh of diseased cows. And yet, such a revolution would be ill-considered, for such prejudice against the chestnut is not without its reasons. Even in a meritocracy, they would occupy the very bottom rung of the ladder. For loath as I am to utter it, even after roasting, a chestnut tastes like shite. Well, I'm glad I've got that off my chest.
The Now Show.
Well, as we all sat listening to the Queen's speech this Christmas, there was one man for whom it was always going to be a difficult time of year, Prince Charles. The man who would be king, but his mum won't let him. Will there ever be a king's speech?
Unaccustomed as I am, hang on, I'll never get this speech right. As your new king, no, that's not right. Happy Christmas, everyone, from Charles and Camilla. No, no, not yet.
What are you doing in there, Charles?
I'll be out in a minute, Mummy.
Open the door, Charles. Your father has to go.
Hurry up, boy, I'm busting.
Oh, dear.
Just lock the door. Charles, what are you doing in there?
Nothing. Leave me alone. I'm 50.
Open up, boy. Open up, boy. I'm splitting my clog. Oh, hello, Margaret.
What's going on? Get out the way. I'm going to puke.
Listen, mate, there's a queue and I'm first.
I extend my best wishes to the Commonwealth and
Come out of there! My bladder's swelling up like a gouty foot!
Charles!
Yes, I'll be out in a minute. This is an occasion when a grateful nation... Oh, no, I've reached the bottom of the page. Could someone slip some more paper under the door?
No! My back teeth are floating! Get out!
Hello, Edward.
Hello,
Hello, Nana. Hello, Mumsy. Hello, Dada.
Ew. Hello, Edward. I'm afraid the toilet's occupied.
No problem. I'll just nip out and use a public toilet. On Clapham Common.
Is that boy ever going to come out?
Pardon?
Hello, everyone.
Charles, were you writing a Christmas speech in there? I am still queen, you know.
No, Mummy, I wasn't.
Then if you weren't writing a speech, what were you doing?
I was, Yes, I was buffing my happy lamp.
Pont and Dennis.
And finally, the New Britain Carol. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Blimey, look, it snowed, he said, and I'm glad it did. I'm off down to Ladbrokes now, I've won 50 quid. Five a steak at 10 to 1, so much for Suzanne Charlton. The BBC were miles out, and so were Sky and Carlton. I'm fluffed from my flutter now, Xmas cheer I wish you. Then a poor man came in sight, selling the big issue. Hear the page and stand by me, if thou knowest telling. Yonder vagrant, who is he? What's that he is selling? Sire, he is homeless and a paper he is vending. But Wenceslas said, that's all crap, he's only pretending. I know what these people do, they commute from Dorking. They make thousands every week, so stop this feeble talking. Why can't they just get a job? This is a welfare state. And Wenceslas went off to bed and shut the castle gates. The homeless man stayed homeless, and King Wenceslas stayed wealthy. The homeless man was soon quite ill, and Wenceslas stayed healthy. We've got an NHS, he said, and no one raised their voices. Newspapers all commented, the king will make hard choices. Thank you very much indeed. Good night.
You have been listening to The Now Show, for which you have missed Gunfight at the OK Corral, Free Willy 2, The Brookside Omnibus, and Cilla Black's The Moment of Truth. Don't worry, though, they'll probably be on again next year. The Now Show was hosted by Steve Punt and Hugh Dennis and brought to you by Jane Busman, Dan Friedman, Simon Moonery, David Quantick, Emma Clark, and Nick Romero. It was developed by Bill Dare with the producer, Alad Evans. We're all back in April.
You might like to end the year on a high note and miss some more television tomorrow at 12:30 with another generous dose of the antidote to panel games, I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which comes once again from the New Theatre in Cardiff, where chairman, Humphrey Littleton, presides over special guest Max Boyce and the regular team of Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Tim Brooke Taylor, with Colin Sell at the piano. That's I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, tomorrow at 12:30.
Like a jigsaw puzzle, we all fit into place round the table. We sat on an assortment of chairs, stools, tins, logs. We are served, as is the tradition of the Royal Artillery, by the officers and sergeants. The sergeants are ladling out tin turkey, pork, beef, roast potatoes, sprouts, carrots and gravy. None of our waiters are quite sober, and there is an overlap at the end of the dinner when Sergeant Ryan is pouring custard over the turkey. Smudger calls for a toast to the officers and sons. There follow more toasts to the regiment, the king, and in fact anybody. I distinctly heard, gentlemen, the toast is anybody.
Brian Blessed reading from Milligan's War by Spike Milligan.